On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
This is about as good as you can get because it's champagne.
Champagne.
Is lifestyles of the rich and famous, television's unchallenged authority on wealth, prestige, and the good life.
Champagne's wishes and caviar dreams. It's Robin the Leech. So here are the champagnes we're going to be discussing today. We have Moët Chandon Nectar Imperial. We have Ruinard Blanc Singular, Edition 19. We have Veuve Clicquot Riche. We have Veuve Clicquot Riche Rosé. And then we have Veuve Clicquot La Grande Dame Rosé 2015. And Krug Grand Cuvée 172nd Edition.
We'll be right back after this break.
Brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Not true anymore. I've been watching the Murderbot series on Apple TV right around 2 a.m. That's why. It's streaming. You watch whenever you want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've read all the books. And now that Alexander Skarsgård, that tall Viking dude that my wife's in love with from True Blood.
Streaming. I thought, like, you know, you went out and drank a lot of beer that night and then had
that's
to pull
a different
over.
Type of streaming completely.
Oh, okay. Wrong kind.
Yeah. 2 a.m. I watched Dallas Does Taxes.
What is that? Is that a...
It's a new movie. For CPAs.
Dallas Does Taxes?
Yeah.
She did Dallas. Now she's doing taxes.
It was Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
Debbie Does Taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he does taxes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's porn.
I've been drinking
kids,
champagne. Yeah.
That's a call to the 80s or 70s? When is that?
80s.
Is it, yeah.
Why do you know so much about this? I'm a little freaked out.
Mm. I'm a Dallas fan.
You know, I remember seeing it with the squiggly line. You know, when my parents left the house and you try on TV.
Yeah.
On TV. Yeah.
Oh, yes, the squiggly lines. That was my access point.
Yeah, it was broadcast over the air, but you had to have the real receiver to decode it kind of
Every
thing.
Every once in a while, the line would clear up for a few seconds.
You could see like a leg or an arm.
Yeah. Or a whole titillating bit.
Yeah.
All right. Straighten the toilet.
Unless you're a 13-year-old teenage boy, we're not the best thing on at 2 a.m., but you know, we could be.
Well, this is Made Man Bob joining me today. good old boy, Justin.
Pleasure to be here.
And good old boy, Harm.
I've driven the show into the toilet already. Thank you, though.
Well, you know.
Oh, nice double entendre there.
Yeah, it's a record.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. Look at it this way. It's a record. Yeah. So... our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else you can sip. And this is a lovely show because this is a champagne show.
And the bubbles have gone to my head. I apologize now.
Yeah. This is about as good as you can get because it's champagne.
Champagne.
Is lifestyles of the rich and famous, television's unchallenged authority on wealth, prestige, and the good life.
Champagne's wishes and caviar dreams. It's Robin the Leech. So here are the champagnes we're going to be discussing today. We have Moët Chandon Nectar Imperial. We have Ruinard Blanc Singular, Edition 19. We have Veuve Clicquot Riche. We have Veuve Clicquot Riche Rosé. And then we have Veuve Clicquot La Grande Dame Rosé 2015 and Krug Grand Cuvée 172nd Edition.
I love all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
We are such lucky men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is about as good as life can get if you're a wine guy. And I'm a wine guy, but I'm even more of a champagne guy. So I am beyond happy. So we're going to be tasting and discussing these fine bottles and rating them with our signature sounds and our sips ratings from 1 to 5. We'll play one of them for you. Just one sip.
Water. All right. We played that one because you're not going to hear it on this episode.
Yeah.
You're just not going to hear it.
You have to imagine the sounds.
Yeah. So let's have Harm tell us about our first champagne house.
Thank you, Bob. So our first champagne house is the Moët et Chandon, established in 1743 by Claude Moët, an Epernay wine trader. Demand for champagne increased significantly during the reign of King Louis XV, and soon their clientele included many nobles at the royal court. In 1833, the company was renamed Moët et Chandon when Pierre Gabriel Chandon de Brial,
my French is horrible.
Remy Moët's son-in-law joined the company as a partner of Jean-Remy Moët and Claude Moët's grandson. The Moët's first vintage champagne was released in 1842, and their Brut Imperial expression was introduced in the 1860s. In 1971, Moët and Chandon and Hennessy Cognac merged, and in 1987, that company merged with Louis Vuitton, becoming LVMH, Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy. Moët currently owns the largest vineyards in the region of 1,300 hectares, of which 50% are classified as Grand Cru, and 25 are classified as Premier Cru. They also have 25 kilometers of aging caves. 25 kilometers?
28. Put on your glasses.
I need my glasses. It's cleaned, actually. They're on. It's not clean.
That's a
lot of caves. Aging wine. They produce over 28 million bottles annually.
I consume at least 10% of that.
Yeah. Somebody has to put a dent in it. So Moët and Chandon Nectar Imperial is our first champagne today. It's 12% ABV, non-vintage. It's 40 to 50% Pinot Noir and 30 to 40% Pinot Meunier. The Chardonnay varies between 10 and 20%. 20 to 30% of the blend is from specially selected reserve wines. The dosage, or the sugar added for the second fermentation, is 45 grams per liter. So the color is a beautiful golden, and the nose. At first, when you first pour it, the yeast gives off this smoky quality. That goes away, but then you come to tropical fruit. It's gorgeous with pineapple. Well, that more mango first for me. Mango, hints of pineapple, and there's plum and a tiny hint of vanilla and a little bit of white flour, but not much. You'll get more of that in some of the others, but it's all there on the nose. And it's a sweet champagne because they call it demi-sec. So this is something that you'd want with dessert. Perfect for dessert. This is if you're having wedding cake, Nectar Imperial is it. You know, I tell people, you can't
afford any more wedding cake. Last one cost you a house.
Well, that was the first one. The second one. I'm still paying for.
Yeah.
Because she's still around. She gave me a kid. I got to keep her. Anyway, the...
That's the theory.
I think Hallmark wrote that card.
That's my card. Yeah. My
happy
wedding
anniversary. You my gave wedding me a anniversary. Kid, I have to keep you.
I think this show will come out right after the anniversary. Yeah. My wedding anniversary is coming next week. It's great.
That's definitely a Hallmark moment.
It's this week. Damn. It's this week.
I know where some of these half-drunk bottles are going to go then.
So this has got such a beautiful mouthfeel. Great tropical fruit, sweetness up front, medium to long finish, but with a hint of citrus, like a tangy note to it. I really enjoy this champagne, but you do need to pair it with something sweet. What do you think, Justin?
So I got many different fruits. It was really creamy. I got a nice chalky taste on the palate. I got mangoes, pears, plums. I even got pulp of durian in it. Just a touch.
You know, most people find durian disgusting. I don't know why you would
But I like it.
You do like durian.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who do not like durian. You know, it's illegal to eat on the subway and in public places in Singapore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Only because you told me, but yes.
Well, you know, I'm not even.
Bob, are you a durian fan? But do you see durian this? What do you get? You get the tropical fruits.
Durian's delicious if you can hold your nose closed while you eat it. It's just if you open up your nose, that's where it all falls apart.
So right.
There's a market quarter of a mile from my house, right down the street, that sells durian.
I shop there.
Yeah, great place. I think this is a lovely.
And that creamy mouthfeel is a good call, Justin. I didn't think about that when I was doing my nose, but yeah, you're right. Great creamy mouthfeel.
Yeah, it's got a nice coat to it. It's got a lovely cream to it. The mousse on it is nice. It's not aggressive like some champagnes are. There's a nice light mousse to it, but a beautiful drink.
I'll just pour some more.
Yeah, pour some more, and we'll come back and finish talking about it.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just sort of wrapping up our discussion of this lovely Moët Chandon Nectar Imperial. It's the nose on it is beautiful. I'm with you on the nose. I get more mango, get more a little bit pear. Of pineapple, a little papaya. It's that tropical fruity thing, but the mango sort of leaps forward with me.
Well, you know why? Because it's mango season in Florida, and there's mangoes everywhere. We're just inundated.
There's one right across the street. Yeah. So. I get a little bit of an apricot to it, and there's a little bit of a creamy vanilla to the nose, but on the palate, again, it's a tropical fruit bomb. When I'm just drinking champagne, not pairing it with anything, I prefer more along the lines of a brut. This is more, like you said, I think this with a dessert.
It cries out for some.
Absolutely just stunning.
If you're not doing wedding cake, how about petit four? Some beautiful little petit four, some angel food cake, some, you know,
some nice vanilla cream pastries or.
Even dark chocolate.
You know, I don't do this with dark chocolate.
I wouldn't do this with chocolate.
I would do this with a creme brulee because the vanilla accents this.
Yeah, okay. Creme brulee would be perfect.
You want that cream, like the creamy texture of champagne matches the creamy of the creme brulee.
So you're not contrasting your
I'm not contrasting.
But again, so well done. I mean, just beautiful. And
you know, there's another thing people don't think about. If you mentioned, Justin, contrasting flavors.
Mm-hmm.
This would go great with spicy Asian food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So the sweetness contrasts the spice. The creaminess works good with the Asian.
This would Thai food.
I mean, I prefer the minerality of a Riesling, but this has enough minerality to carry it through.
Yeah, I was thinking 4-star heat pad Thai. Yeah.
That works.
Pick a protein.
But nonetheless, an absolutely beautiful wine. I think on our last wine episode, we did the Chandon from California, which is
some of the best California stuff.
Fantastic wine.
But the French stuff is still better.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I will concede that this one is just a step up for me, but it's also a step up in price, so you have that as well.
Yeah, about double.
But
or maybe more. Maybe more
double. But a fabulous wine nonetheless. So we're going to be giving the Moët Chandon Nectar Imperial a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's have Justin tell us about our next winery.
All right, we're going to talk about Ruinart Blanc Singulier, edition 19. It's 12.5% alcohol by volume.
You missed the whole reading.
Okay.
Go back one page.
One page back. There you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
Dom Thierry Ruinart, was a modest Benedictine monk who lived from 1657 to 1709 and was a contemporary of Louis the 14th. At the age of 23, he left his home in Champagne to go to the Abbey of Saint-Germain-des-Prés near Paris. There he learned of a new wine with bubbles, not yet known as champagne, which was already popular among young aristocrats. On September 1st, 1729, in Reims, in the heart of the Champagne region, Dom Ruinart's nephew, Nicholas Ruinart, drafted the founding charter of Maison Ruinart.
Maison. All right, dude, just you're reading too slow now. Go on, yeah, go to the next word.
Creating the world's first ever champagne producing company.
Okay, you're that was the money shot right there. The world's first champagne company.
All right. And we're going to talk about the Ruinart Blanc Singulé. It's 100% Chardonnay. It's hand harvested. 70% of the wines are from the 2019 harvest and 23% from Perpetual Reserve. Half stored in oak casks and the other in half stainless steel vats. Fermentation is in the temperature-controlled stainless steel tanks with complete malolactic fermentation and 3 years of aging in the cellars. No dosage on this one.
0 grams, which just makes it brut nature.
And the color is a light yellow. There's beautiful blueberries, sweet fruits, light floral notes on the palate. It was zingy, powerful, and delicious. What did you think, Harm?
You threw me off with the blueberry because I actually, you know, it smells like the freshly washed blueberries before you bite them.
Yes.
Maybe that's where it is. But it's more reminiscent to me of white fruit because I got pears. Lots of pears, lots of white flowers. A hint of jasmine, but like way far in the distance, but more gardenia, some just like white flower going on. And maybe some honeysuckle. But on the nose, it's just this chalky minerality. Gorgeous, gorgeous texture. Mm. A powerful mousse, like you said. Did you say that? Or did I just read that? Powerful mousse. It's powerful. It's like it grips you. Because there's zero dosage. This is a brut nature. There's no residual sugar here. It's citrus on the mid palate and finish. It was pear up front. And the finish goes on quite some time. There's a little bit of salinity. Bob, what do you think?
Well, the salinity is definitely there. Mm.
It just really comes out on the finish, though.
This is a fantastic champagne. I've always been a fan of Ruinart. It's not one that people who are not into champagne don't know that well.
I saw lots of champagne. Yeah. I have to show them Ruinart.
Exactly. And it's a shame because it is a fantastic producer. It's one of my favorites, to be honest with you. It's got a beautiful... there's white flowers... There's a citrus top note to it. And on the palate.
It's bracing. It's bracing.
It's bright. It's like sunshine. It just lights up your mind when you drink it. That's the thing that I like about it. There's white fruit in there. There's citrus notes in there. A lot of floral notes in there. A really nice salinity, minerality, which I kind of dig, is kind of one of my things.
Justin, which we didn't mention earlier, Justin brought caviar for us.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Yeah,
This was the perfect pairing with the caviar. Now we did have on today's table. We've got some dessert champagne, some demi-sec. Mm-hmm. They don't really go with the caviar.
It's
and
true.
I blame you, dude. You should have brought some petit four or something.
Yeah.
Was the French bakery not open when you went?
Yeah. I'm a work in progress, my friend.
He's working on it.
What time did you leave the strip club?
6.
So the French bakery should have been open by then.
Yeah,
been open
by 4. Yeah. It was right next door to the caviar place, too. Yeah.
So we're going to give the Ruinart Blanc Singulaire Edition 19 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic.
I will say it's not my favorite Ruin art, but it's the one of the best.
So let's move on to our next wine. So the House of Clicquot was founded in 1772 by Philippe Clicquot, a man from a banking and textile family. The vineyards were eventually taken over by his son, Francois. He died in 1805, leaving behind a young wife, Barbie Nicole Clicquot-Ponsardin. Widowed at 27, she took control of her own destiny and became one of the first modern female entrepreneurs. In an era when women were excluded from the business world, she took over operation of the company. Her creativity and thirst for innovation led to many firsts for champagne, the first known vintage champagne, the invention of the riddling table, the first known blended rosé champagne. Three inventions that revolutionized champagning, which were widely adopted by other producers, become the basis for the modern champagne production. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just discussing Veuve Clicquot. So.
Veuve.
So, yeah, sorry. 100% right.
Rhymes with love. Veuve Clicquot.
Been in America too long. So she was, the thing I love about her, she was the one who opened the market in Russia.
Yes.
Which the Russian czars and the Russian court became the biggest consumer of champagne on planet Earth for many, 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 many years. 100% a result of her. And there's an excellent movie. I saw it. When we were flying to Ireland on the plane, mm-hmm. about the Widow Clicquot. Really, really great movie.
So, Veuve Clicquot means Widow Clicquot. Veuve means widow.
So, our first one we're going to be having is the Veuve Clicquot Riche. It's 12% ABV, not vintage, 50% Pinot Noir, 30% Meunier, 20% Chardonnay. Reserve wines are 40 to 45%, and the dosage is 40 or 55.
55.
Yeah, fairly high. So let's have a taste here, and we'll see what we've got. So on the nose, we've got a lot of tropical fruit. I get a lot of the pineapple on it. There's a grassy note to it. On the nose, there's a definite citrus to it, almost like a Meyer's lemon. And on the palate, while it is sweet, the dosage is very high. It's more of a back palate sweetness as opposed to a front palate sweetness. I get white fruit, a little bit of pear. There's actually underneath all that sweetness, there's a tart green apple note that I get that sort of claws its way through the sweetness.
It's not tart enough for me. I think there's too much sugar for me.
Again, this is one I would pair with dessert.
Justin, what do you think?
And would dessert be fantastic. So
it's funny he said Meyer's lemon because I was thinking Meyer's rum. But
well, it's supposed to be Meyer
sweeter.
Without the S, mm-hmm. but that's okay.
Yeah, but I was thinking Meyer's
rum. We've been drinking champagne, so everything's got an extra S on it.
Yeah, everything.
We're like sibilant.
Yeah,
yeah, like lots of fruit, but it's kind of overshadowed by the dosage a little bit.
So this wine, I think years ago I used to like more. I've had it recently for the first time just now. And I think it's gotten too cloying for me. But I will say this. One of the first Veuve Clicquot dinners we did back in the day out east in Fort Lauderdale, we did a fantastic dinner where this wine was served at the beginning. and at the end of the dinner. At the beginning, with the past hors d'oeuvres that were kind of sweet, but we served it decanted. Decanted for 3 hours, zero bubbles. It became an amazing dessert wine. So this has some versatility.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a little bit too sweet for me. We have a rating for it, Bob?
Well, we're going to be giving the Vovico Riche. Well deserved, three sips.
Interesting.
Again, I think with the proper food pairing, then, I mean.
Well, you know what? Again, on its own, I blame Justin. He brought caviar.
On its own, a little sweet for me personally, but a lot of people prefer their champagne sweeter.
Especially Americans.
Which is totally fine. Oh, damn it. Small accident.
Paper towels.
Yep. So that's going to take us to our next wine. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
So while Bob cleans that up, we're going to be talking about the Veuve Clicquot Riche Rosé, 12% ABV, non-vintage, Pinot Noir 50%, 50%, 30% Pinot Meunier, 20% Chardonnay. The reserve wines are up to 45%. Red wine, 15%. So they're going to add, when they do the dosage, they do some Pinot Noir added to this. It's 55 grams per liter of dosage. The color is a gorgeous, a berry pink. This is not salmon. This is like bright berry, like raspberry pink. The nose is all about sweet strawberry and hints of wispy smoke. Wispy white smoke, like a chalkiness and strawberries and maybe some currants. Mm. On the palate, it is sweet, ripe Italian strawberries. These are those wild strawberries you get. Just absolutely rich, ripe. There's not that hit of acidity that you get like grocery store strawberries. These are like overly ripe. There's a hint of raspberry coming out and some spice. I don't know what the spice is. Like maybe some clove, but gorgeous. And the finish is medium. Justin, what do you think?
So on the nose, I definitely got some like cloves and rich pepper, but not overdone.
White pepper.
Yeah, like white pepper. On the palate, I got some light fruit. Then it kind of climaxed into like the middle of pixie sticks and then went back into light fruit. And the finish was sweet as well. It was enjoyable.
Bob, you get that champagne cleaned up?
Well, the one that I just spilled was the one we were drinking, which broke my damn heart.
Well, we got more. There's the bottle right there.
Oh, I've already poured some more. Thank God. So, absolutely beautiful. Again, a little bit sweet for me, but
I actually enjoy this more than the first one, though.
I enjoy this one more than the first one because it has a more body, so it stands up to the sweetness a little better. But on this one, it's not just a beautiful pink salmon color, but
it's not salmon, dude. It's berry. That is berry pink.
But it is, it's 100%, like you said, wild strawberries.
I'm gonna have some more.
Not store-bought strawberries.
Yeah.
Wild strawberries are tiny, tiny, like the size of a pea. And they smell 10 times better than the biggest strawberry you've ever smelled in your life. And that's what we get here. This is like strawberries in a glass.
There's some raspberry, but not much.
Absolutely delicious. Mm.
And the mousse is good, but I don't think it lasts as long as it should.
Could be a little bit more, but I mean, we're splitting hairs at this point.
I have to criticize them because, you know, if they brought me, they sent us too much sweet champagne.
Well,
I want the dry stuff.
You always have to criticize. That's just who you are. So
I also have to criticize Justin for not bringing pettifores. Come on.
Yeah, well. At least macaroons, man.
He did splurge for caviar. I saw the receipts.
Yeah. So we're going to give the Veuve Clicquot Riche Rosé a well-deserved four sips.
Oh, yes. That's
classified.
So that's going to take us to our next wine from our friends at Veuve Clicquot, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
All right. We're going to talk about La Grande Dame Rosé.
Yes, sir. Turn the page, all right, man.
Yeah.
So that's 12.5% alcohol by volume. It's 90% Pinot Noir, 10% Chardonnay. The dosage is 6 grams per liter.
That's more like it, baby. Mm-hmm.
And it's 13% red wine. The color is a beautiful light red dark pink. The nose was spicy and rich. It's like mom's cabinet for the spices with...
You said white pepper for the last one. I'm getting a lot of white pepper here. But what else?
I'm getting like nutmeg, clove.
Nutmeg's good. Yeah.
I'm getting strawberries, grapefruit, black tea. The palate was well balanced. More fruit pulp than fruit rind. Hints of raspberry, strawberry, and the finish was smooth. Oh my. Yeah.
Long finish.
What'd you think, Bob?
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
Yeah. The Continental.
Yeah. How much better can life be? I mean, come on. You know what I need? I need that bottle of one Grand Dame right there. That's what I need.
Right here. Those
That's what I need. Okay. We need to pour just a scotch, more of that in the glass, and just top that back up and make everybody happy. The color on it.
I'll join you.
Is an absolutely beautiful, just like bright rosé.
We're on the radio. Nobody cares about the color.
Mm.
Talk about the wine. Come on.
On the nose, there is absolutely a spicy note to it. There's a little bit of a pepper, a little bit of a, I don't want to say baking spice, but it's almost a baking spice.
It's not the same baking spice you get like in whiskey.
No, this is much not more at subtle. All. No,
more like baking soda for me.
Mm.
We have another commercial.
Yeah, we have another commercial. We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were gushing over the Veuve Clicquot Le Grand Dame Rosé 2015. So again, there's a baking spice to the nose. Red fruit on the palate. On the palate, there's a lovely minerality to it, which I crave in champagne. You can literally, it's like licking the chalk. You can taste it. You can taste the terroir of the champagne. There's a little bit of a strawberry to it. And
he said black tea, but I say blackberry and black tea.
I get more blackberry than black tea. There is a tea note to it.
There's a tea note.
But it's...
I thought he was right.
No, it's very... It's
Earl Grey.
Yeah.
It's not Earl Grey. Earl Grey has bergamot. And there's citrus here, but it's not bergamot. Bergamot is very distinctive.
Yeah, bergamot's very different. I definitely get a black tea to it. I definitely get the berry notes to it. There's definitely a currant note to it.
Yeah, red currants, definitely.
I mean, their tasting notes say black currants. I'm with you. I taste more red currant.
It's not black. It's red.
Yeah. The citrus comes forward, but it's just... So
violets, that's what I'm missing. Violets,
steely, just so solid, so well made. It's absolutely fantastic. What'd you think?
I'm just chiming in through the whole thing. I could not restrain myself. I freaking love this champagne. So Veuve Clicquot Grand Dame is their tête de cuvée. So like you have Moët Chandon, their tête de cuvée is Dom Pérignon. So you have the regular Veuve Clicquot. Only in the best vintages will they declare like a superior cuvée. Yeah. Oh, and they will make the Grand Dame. Yeah. So Grand Dame Rosé is even more rare.
Yeah.
We get Grand Dame in America. Well, I sell lots of Grand Dame.
We were discussing. Grand neither one of us have to get. Had it in 10 years or more.
10 years, yeah, more. Yeah. It's like last time I had Grand Dame Rosé, I think we were talking about my wedding anniversary coming up this week. Probably 10 years ago.
And like, yeah. Thank you to the folks at LVMH for sending us samples because they not only sent us a rosé, but they sent us a 2015. So something was a proper age on it. So.
Yeah, thank you so much. So that's fantastic. I probably had this maybe 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. This is fantastic stuff.
So we're going to be giving the La Grande Dame Rosé 2015 a well deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness. Yes!
And that takes us to our final wine.
These last two wines totally justify the caviar that Justin scores for. Again, thank you, Justin. So, but I will always blame you for not bringing Petit Fours for the sweet champagne.
Fair enough.
So Johann Joseph Krug left his home in Mainz on the Rhine River in 1824 to travel to France. In 1834, he arrived in Paris and joined Champagne Jacques-Cassin as a bookkeeper. During his time, he learned the wine business, the art of blending champagne. In 1841, he got married, and the following year, he welcomed a son, Paul Krug. That same year, he moved the family to Rheims, and in 1843, Krug Etsy was founded. When he died in 1866, his son Paul took over the family business and moved it to their current home in Rheims. Paul died in 1810 and was succeeded by his son, Joseph Krug II. Joseph was taken prisoner of World War I, leaving his wife to run the business for several years. And after the war's end, Joseph's health made it necessary to appoint his nephew to be the joint manager in 1924. His son, Paul Krug II, began working the business and became manager from 59 to 77. Paul II's son, Henri Krug, joined the firm in 62, along with his brother Remy in 65. Henri being named president in 77. In 1999, they were sold to LVMH, and Henri retired in 2002, leaving his son Olivier to replace him, who runs the brand to this day.
We met Olivier, you and me, Bob.
Yeah, at the event down at the Satay.
We had it. No, not the Satay. We did it at Coconuts.
Oh, yeah, Coconuts.
We did it in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Olivier took over. One of his brand ambassadors was called away for a family emergency, a tragedy. Mm-hmm. And
we had about Olivia 14 people, and we drank 28 bottles of Krug.
It was a cold night, a real cold night in Fort Lauderdale, and people just flaked out. Yeah. I was embarrassed at the low turnout, but we drank
oysters
more than
fried
our weight
chicken and Krug.
Oysters and champagne. Yeah.
Krug Grand Cuvée 172nd Edition, 12.5% ABV. It's a blend of 146 wines from 11 different years. The youngest of which is in 2016. The oldest date backs to 1998. 44% Pinot Noir, 36% Chardonnay, 20% Meunier. So the color, a very light straw, but on the nose, white flowers, almonds, citrus, a little bit of marshmallow, and on the palate.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'm pouring some more.
Beautiful, beautiful fruit.
Bob, your glass is looking half empty.
Beautiful white fruit. The lemon is amped up to 11. There's a nuttiness to this. The minerality is there, but it's not as chalky as some champagnes. There's a brioche, a sweetness, beautiful, buttery, just, oh my God, I love this.
Yeah. It's the nuttiness. It's the minerality that's so balanced here. The chalkiness doesn't overtake your palate. The almond becomes almost like marzipan with the sweetness and the creaminess. The hazelnut is not becoming Nutella. It's not that. It's all there. It's just gorgeous. I cannot get enough of this champagne. Justin, just talk while I just smell this stuff.
Well, this is the river of life. It is the root of all things. It will pair with anything. Whatever you eat or drink, it will accentuate that.
Oh, this is good with fish. It's good with fowl. It's good with meat. Yeah. It's good with dessert. It's good with everything.
It paired with the caviar really well.
To quote my favorite doctor,
oysters.
Seuss, I would drink this here. I would drink this there. I would drink this anywhere.
This is, you know, I've had champagne that cost 3-4 times as much. Actually 10 times as much. I've had $1,000 champagnes, whatever. This is still for me and my wife, this is our favorite champagne. Grand Cuvée. Yeah. It's non-vintage. It's not vintage champagne. It's a blend of a lot of reserve wines. How many champagnes did you sell?
Well over 100.
Yeah, well over 100 different wines.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is the blender's art.
You could drink it on a yacht. You could drink it on a rock.
Yeah. Drink it in a tree. You could drink it with me. Even the bottle is elegant. The neck on the bottle is so thin.
Long.
As opposed to every other bottle you have. I mean, it's just so well planned and so well thought out.
I'll be calling Fine Wine and Spirits, finding out if I can order a case.
It's just Fine Spirits, dude. How long are you going to make?
Okay, Fine Spirits.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just so well done.
I moved a couple cases today, actually.
That night.
Nice.
Oh, God, 10-odd years ago when Henri showed up and did that event for us.
It was Olivier.
What a great night. We drank oodles and oodles of Krug. I ate 9 dozen oysters. Great day.
You want to give it a rating?
We're going to be giving the Krug Grand Cuvée 172nd edition a well-deserved 5 sips because I can't do 11.
So I'm still getting used to the show being shorter for more commercials.
Yeah.
I could have gone on forever about this champagne.
I could do an entire show on this one. So, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Harm.
Bob, I don't always mean it, but I do today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
This is a good day. So, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And fortunately, today, that has not been an issue.
Not a single one, my friend. Justin, cheers. Thank you for the caviar again.
Cheers.
All I remember is eating oysters and drinking bottles and bottles of this. And
oh, my God. Sounds good.
Oysters and fried chicken. People don't think about pairing the champagne with something great.
They were good.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.